I think a message that I would like to get out there to people is just recognize burnout in yourself. I've been there myself, and it's not just about the income you're making. It's about how you feel going to work. Are you in an environment where people support you and treat you well, or are you in an environment where it's cutthroat but you make good money?
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for Real Estate Industry Sales Professionals, Property Managers and Leaders. With thanks to our partner, Connect Now, Elevate brings you the best tools, thinking and strategies to elevate your results. To download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links and shortcuts, visit EliteAgentElevate.com. And for more information about how Connect Now can make moving easier on your clients, visit connectnow.com.au. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate Podcast, where we delve into some of the most interesting minds in business and in real estate for the very best tips and strategies for you to implement to elevate your business. I'm Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent and host of this week's show. Today, my guest is the owner of three award-winning PRD Nationwide offices in Hobart. He's an auctioneering champion and also recently appeared on Bachelor in Paradise. Welcome to the show, Connor Canning.
Thank you so much, Samantha. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's amazing to have you. I feel like I've been watching you off and on for the last few months, but Bachelor in Paradise actually finished filming quite some time ago, didn't it?
It did. So it's a really weird experience to go through all of that and want to tell everyone what's happening, and then you've got to lay low. So it was only meant to be 3 or 4 months before the show came out, but obviously with COVID, that kind of blew timeframes out. So it's a long time laying low.
Well, I can imagine. So Mary and her daughter have just moved to Tasmania to be with you.
Yes. So Mary and Chanel moved down around 3 weeks ago, but we'd been FaceTiming, coming back and forth prior to the lockdowns and doing a bit of long distance.
Yeah, amazing. So you're a real estate agent and you've been in real estate for a long time. So how did you sell Hobart to Mary?
That's what you didn't see on the show. I was talking about it the whole time. They were calling me the mayor of Hobart on the show because I wouldn't shut up about it. I'm pretty passionate about the place anyway. So I think Mary was open-minded and I was just telling you how beautiful it is here, and I'm glad it worked out.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have to, I guess, mention a couple of other real estate professionals who were on the show. I mean, it was an incredibly happy ending for you and Mary so far. But Kira Maguire, your first date, she used to work for CoreLogic.
She did. We had a great chat about that. I don't think it was that you were friendly. Probably wouldn't have been that interesting, but we had a really good conversation about that. And she's actually a pretty savvy businesswoman as well, which you probably might not see on the show. But yeah, we have plenty to talk about there.
Yep. And Scott, he's from Byron Bay, isn't he?
Yeah, so Scott's got his own agency. I think it's a family business in Byron Bay. And yeah, he's just got great energy. I can see he must do really well up there.
And the legend, Brittany. I was really hoping for the happy ending for her.
I can't believe it. We were meant to go on a date and she got food poisoning, but she is a bundle of energy. I think she's in property management at the moment, but she'd be unstoppable in sales, I think. She's just got an infectious energy and very likable.
You did get the happy ending, and Mary and Chanel have moved to Hobart now, but what made you go on the show in the first place?
I wasn't familiar with the show at all in any format. My assistant at the time said to me, look, why don't you try out for The Bachelorette? You know, you do a lot of video with work, you'll love it. So I did that and I put an application in and they called me and said, Connor, you realise The Bachelorette is literally on right now. There's no spaces. So I was way off the mark, but they said, for the first time in the show's history, they're going to fly clean skins over to Paradise. So literally within a couple of weeks, I was on my way to Fiji and I'd lost my passport, and that was another episode where I was scrambling to get that. So it just all kind of fell into place.
And we did have Yvonne from Married at First Sight on the show some months ago, and he said that there are a lot of lessons learned from being on reality TV. What are some of the biggest lessons you learned?
From watching the show back, I think it was fairly accurate depiction of who I am. Because I was so far out of my comfort zone, I was probably a bit more reserved than I would generally be in my day-to-day life. But here's the thing, this is my theory. The people that complain about bad edits and how they're perceived, they probably lack a little bit of self-awareness. And that's something I'm really big on, that being aware that none of us are perfect, but be aware of what your tendencies are, what might potentially get you in trouble, and try and address it. Because I think sometimes it's just a massive shock to people that maybe they do sometimes say things they regret.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's video training 101, is watch yourself back over and over again. So I actually think real estate's a good training ground for reality TV. So let's talk about real estate now that we've sort of dealt with the whole Bachelor in Paradise thing. Have you been in Tasmania all your life?
Yeah, so I grew up here. I spent a little bit of time in Canberra. I was in the army for a couple of years. So left the army about 7 years ago with no real idea of what I was going to do and no money. And pretty much, to be honest, just need to eat. So I need work. And it just so happened that one of the top agents here in Hobart, Ant Manton, who has a Ray White franchise in the city here, was looking for an offsider. And I got that opportunity. But to be completely honest, I didn't realise how great an opportunity it was until some time later. So for the first 3 months, it was just a job to me. And I wasn't performing particularly well. But then I started to see the beauty of real estate, the freedom you get, the thrill of putting deals together, the personal branding, the marketing side of things. So very quickly I thought to myself, yeah, this is what I want to do long term.
Yeah, interesting. So for people that might be listening that are new in real estate, what are some tips for getting market share early in your career?
I think when you're new in real estate, yes, be doing the right activities and have a list of what your targets are, but I think don't be too hard on yourself. That's the problem. What I quite often see, and we do a lot of recruiting here, is that you're going to get knocked back. Regardless, if you can demonstrate to me that you're doing the right activities, I don't care how many times you fail. It doesn't bother me at all, because I look back and I thought, when I was in my position, some of the fumbles where I missed appointments or forgot to get back to people or whatever, I don't crucify people for making little mistakes, but I just want to see they come back to work the next day with the right attitude and they persist. Because I think if you can get past that first 12 months, everything gets a little bit easier. And then obviously the next major jump is that, for me, around the 2 year mark, where it's making the investment and actually putting on a personal assistant. And as most people know, it's a tricky one because you're making money, but when you look at the investment you have to make, it really does put you under a lot of pressure. But persistence and backing yourself as well.
So it's more about the process rather than just ad hoc activities.
Definitely. Have a process in place, have a plan in place. But look, I watch a lot of training and I'm really big on it as well. But what used to get me sometimes is the stories you'd hear about Connor hit the industry and within 12 months he was writing $1 million and he was doing this and doing. Sometimes I actually found that a little bit disheartening because I knew I was putting in the work and I was doing the right activities, but I would hear these stories and it'd throw me out sometimes. And also watching other agents. So you might follow other agents on social media. That's another really big way to start making comparisons. And you don't really know what the real story is. So for me, run your own race, have a plan and make sure you're doing the right activities.
So you're now the director of not one but three offices in Hobart. And Hobart's been a great market for the last few years.
Been incredible. I should say I do have business partners as well. So Tony College, who's an absolute superstar here, he's been a long time president of the REIT, Rochelle Kay and also Natalie Gray as well. So I'm in charge of the sales and the marketing. And for me, that was a really important thing to have the right business partners in this because I know that I can motivate the team and I can have some great marketing ideas. But when it came to the finances, we'd probably go broke in a few months because I'm a yes man. I want to spend money. The salespeople come to me with ideas and I want to support them. So for me, to have the right people around me was really important.
So you're still selling at the moment?
Yeah, so I've taken a backward step in selling in that I do sell and I have an assistant that works alongside me as well, but certainly not to the same level I was. And that was a deliberate decision because I wanted to step into the sales manager role and support the other guys here. To give you an idea about how I came into the PRD group, I was working as an agent at Harcourts with an assistant and I was on track to probably write about 500,000. So I was writing some really good figures, but the opportunity came up with PRD in Hobart. It's a business that's been around for 28 years. Two of the directors were retiring. So there was a major share that became available. And it was a business that was very well respected, but the branding was probably the one part of the business which was probably not keeping up with the times. So I made the decision, look, I was really comfortable where I was and I was making money, but for me it was more satisfying to have the opportunity to actually build something. bringing Rochelle with me, who's completely in charge of the finances, and know that we've got Natalie Gray, who's in charge of property management, would just leave me able to motivate the team and also work on our branding and marketing.
Yeah, amazing. So you've got everyone playing to their strengths.
100%.
Did you have any unexpected challenges in the early days of setting up business? Because real estate is really hard.
I think the big thing for me was stepping back from the written figures. So going from a position where you're aiming to do 40 transactions to coming back and realizing that is a great thing. And for a high-performing salesperson, that's incredible. But when you are stepping up into that leadership position, it's more important that the team succeeds. So it's probably putting your ego to the side a little bit and making sure you're doing everything you can to support the team. So for me, to give you an example, I first day coming into PRD, and they were a bit unsure of what to make of me, I said, I'm purely here to support you and give you the tools to go to the next level. I know you could all walk out the door and get a job wherever you liked. And to be honest, that was a fear we had with a new director coming in. But I said, I'm going to give you all the tools that you could do that and get a great deal, but you won't want to because you know I'm here to support you. So for me, I used to battle all the time with past directors about personal branding things. You know, I always wanted my own website. I wanted to put my face on signboards. I wanted to do all of those things. And I used to get a lot of pushback. So for me, coming into PRD, I said, guys, if you want to be the kind of agent that brands themselves on everything, I'm here to support that. If you're more of a work your database, low-key operator, we can support that too, but we'll just tailor it to whatever they're after.
I mean, that's still a thing of big debate in the industry, isn't it? Is it the agent's brand or is it the franchise brand? It's still a big debate. Are you still of the opinion that it should be the agent's brand?
I've got to be a bit careful here with PRD, so I'll try not to upset them too much. My take on it with how we look at the office, I want the quality to be amazing. So the argument that agents should be able to do whatever they want, I don't necessarily agree with, because sometimes they'll slap something together, and I've been guilty of it over the years, and it does damage the brand slightly. So I'm not saying you put out anything, but I think when it comes to branding the agent, I let them go for gold. I really do make it about them as much as possible. And the only reason as a director that you would ever try and suppress that is you might be scared that they're going to go somewhere else. But I just don't really buy into that philosophy. If they want to go, they're going to go. And while they're with us, I want them to be able to do it their own way.
I think it's a bit of an attraction thing these days too, because definitely younger agents want to be able to brand themselves.
100%.
Yeah, and if they've got someone that will support them, then it's a way of attracting, I think, talent to your business. So speaking of branding, you've obviously got a lot of Instagram followers now. What do you think are some effective branding strategies if you were to start all over again in real estate with what's available to you now? What would you be focusing on?
Look, I realise that being on the show has probably distorted it a little bit because it has inflated my numbers to a certain degree, but I had a really strong presence in Hobart prior to going on the show. And the big three for me were obviously Facebook, Instagram, but a major one was LinkedIn. So I just felt that that's still an opportunity to get heaps of organic traffic, and it's just about tailoring the kind of content you put out. So for me, from the very early days, even when I had no stock, I would position myself as an expert. I'd be seen on social media to be extremely active. I'd leverage the other agents in my office's listings with their permission, of course, through my socials. So for me, to build credibility in the marketplace in a big way, it was all through social media. So I know a lot of agents do that really well now, but when I first started, it was being done, but not particularly well. And I still think there's a great opportunity there. But it's about knowing what to do. So with my Instagram, I'm sitting at around 22,000. Typical agents' thoughts were, oh, I could just start putting new listings up there. As much as I would love to do that, I'm going to lose that audience straight away because that's not what they necessarily want to see. They want to see the personal side of things, but I can work real estate in there in a really natural, organic way because it's a big part of who I am. So I don't have to hide it, and I'll certainly present to them in a way that they know that I'm very credible, I know my stuff down here, but I'm definitely not going to spam it with listings. And when I look at LinkedIn, PRD put out a lot of great reports. So for me, it's about sharing reports on the market that people are going to get a lot of value out of. Sometimes I'll sprinkle a few personal posts in there as well. So you don't have to completely go that way, but just tracking what is being engaged with and what isn't. And Facebook, I think most of us have got a pretty good idea of that, but I've been watching a lot of, is it Lisa Novak?
Yeah.
I'm always looking at stuff and I love how she's going about it. So with all my new listings, I do a live Facebook tour, which I'm finding is really getting some good traffic. We still do professional videos for all our properties, but I like that because it's live. And yeah, look, we work obviously boosts into all our VPA with all our listings. I personally don't do any press, but I know a lot of guys in my office, and some of them have been doing this for a long time, that's still really important to them. So I'm happy for them to kind of work out what works for them.
It really depends on the types of buyers you want to attract to any particular property, right? And I guess what's become really obvious to us over the last few months is you've got to tailor your strategy for every single property that you sell, depending on who you think's going to end up in there, of course. So you finished filming the show 9 months ago, which means that you probably went through the height of COVID back in the office. What sort of strategies did you as a business owner use while we were all being locked down?
This is where I've got to credit some of my business partners as well, because Natalie Gray, who was in charge of our operations for that, she was so on the ball as far as making sure we were compliant from day one. We enabled people to work from home and we really pushed virtual open homes. So we would advertise at the start of the week the virtual tours that were going to happen on the Friday and the Saturdays, and we would make sure we were pushing all our buyers to make sure that they were engaging with those videos and seeing it as a bit of a virtual open, and obviously making sure we were taking all the health precautions. But for us, it was to keep everyone informed. But as agents, you want to be the people that are, you're not burying your head in the sand, but you certainly want to be optimistic. We weren't putting our heads down. We were making sure we were pushing on. And what I was pretty much in front of the team saying at our all-staff meetings is the most opportunity comes in adversity. So there's some operators in this business down here that have been around for 20 years and they're doing fantastically. They're the people that are going to be less inclined to want to do the hard yards when it's really tough. They'll be complacent because there's money in the bank. They've been successful for such a long time. So for us, we are still a fresh business and we're still really hungry. So I was just making sure I was letting the team know that if you are feeling anxious or you're stressed, we can help you with that. But please keep in mind that this is a great opportunity for all of us in the market.
It's really good advice. And I think still even now in the situation that we find ourselves in New South Wales and Victoria and places like that, where times are still challenging, I think that's good advice because if you're up against more experienced competitors, they are less likely to be that hungry, I guess.
Exactly right.
But that's good advice for any time, I think. You've got to stay hungry.
Definitely.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you a few of the Leadership Diaries questions, if that's okay.
Perfect.
What was your first job and what did it teach you?
My first job was at Big W, a suburb called Glenorchy here in Hobart, which is a slightly lower socioeconomic area. And I would say what that job taught me is you just have to suck it up and do things you don't want to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you a 5 a.m. clubber?
I get it up at 5:45 and I go for a run. And then at the moment, I'm coming back and having breakfast with Mary, which is really nice. But before that, it was just in the bachelor pad. But yeah, definitely an early riser. And I go to bed pretty early. It's pretty sad. So I'm usually in bed around 9 o'clock.
Yeah, me too. I hear you. If you get up that early, you've got to be in bed early, I reckon. What is the most important thing you're working on right now and how are you making it happen?
The most important thing we're working on at PRD at the moment is getting a foothold in the high end of the market here in Hobart. So we've got some really good operators that market and I'm just learning from them how I can equip them better. So a lot of it's coming down to personal branding and coming up with some guides there. But we have also appointed a coach for the entire office. So Charles Bainey, who I'm not sure if you've dealt with before, he's going to be on our roster on a monthly basis and all of our staff are able to contact him at any point. He's got plans in place with all of them and he's keeping them accountable. So really pushing into that high end of the market here in Hobart.
Amazing. What's your favourite question to ask in a job interview and what does it tell you about the person?
That's a very good question. Look, I always have a couple of go-to questions, but for me, I want to hear an example of a problem that the person has faced and how they've gone about resolving it, because For me, we've got very much a roundtable culture in this office. I don't have to have all the great ideas. Anyone in this organisation can come up and make a suggestion about how we can do things better. So if I can hear that they've dealt with problems and come up with their own solutions, that's what I'm really excited to hear about.
How do you get a new employee to understand the culture of your business?
For me, getting an employee to understand our culture is about making sure there's a really good induction process. So there is what we call the 10 golden rules of PRD, and they relate to how we treat each other, how we treat clients, how we work with our system. So from day one, they need to have a really good idea of that. But it's not good enough in this business to just write figures. You've got to be able to work well with the team because we are a strong team. We don't have one or two superstars. We're a really strong team, which is rare on most offices, and we really want to protect that. So we want to make sure that everyone's treated equally and also everyone's aware of what the guidelines are.
What advice would you give someone just starting their real estate career?
Advice to anyone starting their real estate career is to do as much training as possible and stick with it, because so many people find it hard in the first 6 months. No one finds it easy in the first 6 months that I've ever heard of. So it's going to be tough, but stick it out, because on the other end, it's an incredible career. And I can't picture myself doing anything else.
What do you consider will be the biggest challenges in the next 12 months in real estate?
The biggest challenge for us at PRD Hobart, we've been fairly well protected in the Hobart market in that stock levels are slightly down, but prices are holding really well. So it is still a great market for us. But I think the biggest issue we're going to face is we've been driving for the first 2 years, and I've been absolutely loving a challenge and leading from the front and getting excited about our new branding and everything else. But we're moving out of that period now, and it's making sure we maintain the rage and actually make sure we are still pushing to be the best, because previously it was really easy to demonstrate the difference from our old branding to our new branding to how our old systems to our new systems, our old technology to our new technology. Now it's more subtle changes. We've got to make sure we're really consistent with them, because we don't want to get complacent.
Consumers just keep demanding more and more and more from their agent, for sure, as well. Well, Connor, it's been amazing talking to you. Thank you so much. The world's probably gone a bit mental for you since the show finished. I really want to thank you for spending some time chatting with us. If there was one thing that you'd like people to remember from our talk today, what would it be?
I think a message that I would like to get out there to people is just recognize burnout in yourself. I've been there myself, and it's not just about the income you're making. It's about how you feel going to work. Are you in an environment where people support you and treat you well, or are you in an environment where it's cutthroat but you make good money? And I can tell you, you're better off with the first option, and to feel supported and to look after yourself, because I think a large number of agents are probably experiencing some burnout and some anxiety that they don't talk about. And I've personally felt it at different times in my career. And I just think if we make people aware that they can reach out for help when they need it.
That's something that doesn't happen quite enough in the real estate industry, is it? I do have one more question to close with. Is Osher's hair really that magnificent?
Osher is just a beautiful man. He's absolutely immaculate. You know, his suits are incredible. He's just, but I must say, he's a little bit robotic when he comes out. He doesn't really want to hang around and talk to you. He's there to look good and then get out.
Yeah, I reckon I would be too if I was him, probably. But Connor, all the best. Thank you again so much. Can't wait to catch up with you again.
Perfect. Thanks, Samantha. Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Elevate, with thanks to connectnow.com.au. Don't forget to download your written action guide from this podcast, containing extra tips, links and shortcuts. Visit eliteagentelevate.com.